My name is Ryan Luke Winslade, and I am a PK and middle child. I know what it's like to be a misfit, an oddball, a weirdo, but I'm okay with that. If you're like me, you are most certainly welcome. Even if you're not, you'll hopefully enjoy yourself here on Pastor's Middle Kid anyway. We'll talk about stuff and look at things a little differently. All right, let's get started. Welcome to episode number 50 of Pastor's Middle Kid. My name is Ryan Luke, and it's so good to have you listening. This episode holds a very dear place in my heart, not only because it is episode number 50, half a century. I've made it to halfway, if I'm shooting for 100, that is, but also because my good mate Michael Cook from YOM Newcastle joins me here on this episode to talk about sports, using it as ministry. Not only that, but we also end this episode with a very special surprise where we... Haha, just kidding, I'm not going to tell you. You're going to have to stick around to hear that. Moving right along, let's get to the segment that I know you've been waiting out for. This is Walking with Frodo, wherein we discuss my journey to Mordor alongside Frodo and his companions. Here we go.
Smoke rises from the Mountain of Doom.
Halt. Mr. Frodo!
Walking with Frodo.
I wish the ring had never come to me.
Well, folks, we are making some headway towards the climax of the Two Towers. I am in chapter 11 of book number 3 in this 6-book trilogy, entitled The Palantir, and that is the crystal ball that Saruman has that was thrown out of Orthanc, the giant black tower, by Grima Wormtongue, the seedy guy with the curly black hair that whispered lies and evil things into Theoden's ears. Grima Wormtongue, I would say, is the most Gollum-looking out of anybody, except for Sméagol, of course. But I have just witnessed the Battle of Helm's Deep, followed by the destruction of Isengard by the Ents, who are pretty awesome. I love the Ents. They are some of the oldest creatures ever created back in the Ainul Underlay, if you read the Silmarillion. Regardless, Saruman basically losing everything except for his powers of persuasion and his heart being exposed to everybody. He was finally overthrown. He wasn't stabbed in the back and hurled off the top of Orthanc onto a mill wheel at the bottom and impaled, like it happened in the extended cut of the Two Towers movie. We will see what happens to him later on. But that is where I'm at, 574 pages in. That's over halfway, definitely. And thank you for sticking with me on this very long journey. I'm about to go away camping at base retreat for about 5 days, because I'm going in an early team to set everything up before everyone arrives on Friday. So I should have some time where I can sit down and read. In music, I have been listening to For King and Country today, actually, on the day of recording. Now, this is a band that is quite CCM, that is contemporary Christian music. It's Christian pop. I would equate it with some kind of Christian Imagine Dragons. If you like Imagine Dragons and you like Jesus, you might like For King and Country. Maybe not. No guarantees, but maybe. There is a song by them that I'm playing underneath me right now as the music that'll transition us into the interview with Michael Cook. that is quite popular here at YOM Newcastle. And it is the reason that I didn't actually want to get into For King & Country, because a lot of people around here know this song, which is called Fix My Eyes. And I don't know if they know any others, but I didn't want to be, you know, doing what everybody else was doing, because I'm a bit of a against the grain kind of person. But today I swallowed my pride and decided to listen to them, and I'm really digging them. These guys are actually Aussies, there's two of them. They are brothers of Rebecca St. James and a few others, because they have more siblings than just that. But they basically grew up in Nashville, Tennessee. What perplexes me a little bit is the fact that they've retained their accents since they moved when they were like 7 and 9 years old. But hey, it's an Aussie doing something great in Christian music in America, so I'm a big fan, trying not to be jealous. But this song is called Fix My Eyes by For King & Country. It is from the album Run Wild, Live Free, Love Strong. That's all with full stops in between them. Good album, and if you like one of the songs on the album, you'll probably like the rest of them. So, the song that we will end this here episode number 50 with is called To the Dreamers. And I liked this one as I listened to it today, and I trust that you will too. This is episode number 50 of Pastor's Middle Kid. Sorry, this introduction has been a little bit longer than usual. I'm just so excited and wanted to speak so much, obviously, hence the overflow of words. But this interview with Michael Cook happens to be one of my favorites that I've ever conducted here on this podcast, and it is worth listening to, worth getting through all my rambling at the beginning for. And I don't think I actually spoke that much in the interview, so you shouldn't have to endure much more of it. Get ready to hear about how sports can be used as ministry, some powerful stories from Michael's life, as well as the heart behind why he does what he does. Here's the interview with Michael Cook. This song is called Fix My Eyes, and this is Pastor's Middle Kid, episode number 50. Thank you for joining us on Pastor's Middle Kid, Michael.
You're welcome, Ryan. Good to be on the show.
All right. This is episode number 50.
Episode 50. Which is a big deal.
It's a very big deal, at least to me. I don't know if it's a big deal to anybody else, but...
Well, I couldn't say on behalf of anyone else, but I'm glad to be here in this studio for number 50, Ryan.
Thanks. Well, you are the only other person in here, so I'm glad that... Well, at least one of us is excited to be here.
Well, there's not much more space for anyone else, so...
No.
It's a pleasure you can squeeze me in.
Yes. Okay, well, I wanted to have you, Michael Cook, on Pastor's Middle Kid for a number of reasons.
Thanks.
The foremost being that you are what I feel a suitable guest for episode number 50.
Number 50.
Being that you are a pretty awesome person.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
It's great to be here in the studio.
I also wanted to have you on because we recently did some filming for a video that YOM Newcastle is going to put out that hasn't been released yet and won't be until maybe a couple of weeks after this is released.
It's highly confidential.
Yes, so we will try and steer clear of all questions asked on that. Not really. I'm actually going to ask quite a few of those questions because it actually inspired me to have you on.
Spoiler alert.
Okay.
Okay.
So I wanted to have you on here to talk about sports and sports ministry.
Great, I love those
and
two
ministry.
Things.
So kind of
All three.
There's quite a lot of overlap there.
Sports ministry and sports ministry.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Sports.
There was a comma. Yes. There was a comma, yes, in there.
I love that. Yeah. Okay. First of all,
yes.
You've been on staff here at YWAM Newcastle for how long?
5 years and 2 months.
Okay.
So I just hit the big milestone a couple of months back there in August. So
awesome. And yeah. Prior to that, you did your DTS here as well.
Prior to that, yeah, DTS. And then before that, I was studying at university in mm-hmm. Sydney.
Okay. What did you study at uni?
I was studying exercise physiology, mm-hmm. which is kind of, you know, the function of the human body in response to exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And we looked at a lot of disease populations as well. So cardiovascular disease, asthma, even mental health issues, and how sports could be used as a treatment for those things. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
It's a while ago now. So
yeah. But you emerged with a degree.
Yes. Most eligible bachelor on base.
Come on,
probably. it was a bachelor degree. Sorry, I'll just clarify that.
Okay. Let's go right back.
Take me back.
How far back does your history with sports go, and what was your first introduction to sports?
Whoa, tough question, Rhino. Just been playing sports as long as I can remember. You know, grew up playing cricket, was my primary sport.
Mm-hmm.
From like under nines.
Wow.
You know, kind of mm-hmm. like way back.
Yeah.
That's 20 years ago, actually, if we think about that.
Wow.
So, played a lot of cricket growing up. You know, I was down at the Oval most, you know, a few times a week practicing, and mm-hmm. often would play three games on the weekend, you know, mm-hmm. two on a Saturday and one on a Sunday. Wow. With reps. And
it was
a huge part of my life growing up.
What were your positions? Your main positions?
Well, opened the batting for a while there.
Okay.
And bowled some very tidy leg spin. Mm-hmm. I don't know if any of your listeners are into cricket, but that's the way it was.
Awesome.
Yeah, big part of my life growing up, actually. And there was kind of... I had a dance with fate during a pretty... At the time, I think it was under 16s, maybe. Around about that time, I tried out for a local grade club, which was a pretty big deal at the time. And very narrowly missed out, and that was pretty disappointing for me, actually. And at that point, I kind of subconsciously started to take it less seriously, and I guess resigned myself to not so high of a level as I could have been, you know. And I remember when I was younger, some people were prophesying over me that I'd play at the highest level, play cricket at the highest level, which was really special, you know, like really exciting.
Yeah.
But no one told me that I needed to train my guts out and work really hard. You know, I kind of just thought if God said, then that's what would happen.
Right.
But it wasn't that way. So, so I haven't played cricket seriously for about, you know, 6 years since I joined YWAM. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of something I had to sacrifice to be here with our youth program on a Saturday afternoon and trying to use the Sundays to take a bit of a breath from the full-time ministry. So cricket had to take a back seat, and I recently just gave away all my cricket stuff, actually, and kind of buried the dream.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, that was just a couple of weeks ago, actually, after having the cricket bag under my bed for, you know, all the time I've been here, six years or whatever, without hardly touching it. So had to move on. When I was at school, high school, started playing soccer more and more, and probably, you know, over the last couple of years of my university and into now, soccer's taken the primary love in my heart in terms of sports, because it's so easy to go anywhere, pick up a game, you know, in any country.
You know,
we talked about it on the filming, but anywhere you go, it's easy to pick up a soccer match, and it's not so easy to pick up a cricket match, you know, with all the equipment and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But
unless you're in India.
Unless you're in India, and then every man and his moose is playing cricket. But, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Always been playing every sport I could get my hands on. Never been big on swimming, you know, never good at water sports, never confident with the breathing pattern. That was the thing that really got me. But Recently started to kick some goals in that area as well.
Okay.
So developing confidence in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Could still use some extra practice, but now I feel... Got the breathing going.
Yeah.
Got the stroking.
And next step, synchronized swimming.
Yeah, that's it. Next stop is Japan. Tokyo 2020 or something.
I want to ask you a question about you sacrificing cricket.
Yeah.
And not so much the sacrifice of joining YWAM,
mm-hmm.
But more as a youngster, as a 15, 16-year-old, mm-hmm. when you had this chance and you narrowly missed out, how did seeing what had been prophesied over you in God's name slip away? How did that impact your understanding of God and having Him speak to you?
Yeah, I think that's something that kind of happened a few years later, you know, because
mm-hmm.
I never really understood the importance of what it would look like for me to play cricket at the highest level.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably until I came to YWAM, you know, when I started seeing how influential a high level athlete can be,
mm-hmm.
Either for good or for bad. You know, you see famous athletes doing drugs and being a terrible role model for young people. You see other guys starting foundations and
mm-hmm.
Charities and really making a difference in the world, you know? So
yeah.
Those guys are really influential. And I didn't really understand that until I came to YWAM and started to, I guess, wonder what the grand scheme of my life would look like.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of like, oh, actually, now that I think about it, it would be really, really good to have been in a position of, you know, fame or influence over a large number of, you know, young people, mm-hmm. you know. But I don't think that ever really made me question my belief in God or my ability to understand what He was having, you know, what He's speaking to me or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That never really came into question. It's just like, oh, I wonder what else my life could have been.
Yeah. Okay.
But by the time I started asking those questions, I was already deeply satisfied with my ministry here at YWAM and,
mm-hmm.
you know, my ability to disciple and train and
mm-hmm.
teach people here. So I guess if that had have come a couple of years earlier, it could have been like, oh, I've wasted my life.
Yeah.
But by the time I started to even ask those questions, I was already really settled here. So
cool.
Yeah. That was pretty cool, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Speaking of faith and your understanding of God, when, so you said that as a youngster, you had these things prophesied of you, implying that you grew up in some kind of Christian background.
Yeah.
Okay. When did the penny drop, so to speak? When did it really mean something to you, having your own faith?
2008,
mm-hmm.
April. And I think it was probably like the 24th or the 25th or the 26th. So by that time, I was already 20. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, growing up in a faith-filled family, not regularly attending church because my parents had some disagreements with some church leaders.
Right.
Had many encounters with the Holy Spirit, you know, during that time, through church camps or conferences or whatever. Mm. But in 2008, I was third year university, I think, and I was skipping classes to go to this big worship conference in Sydney City, mm-hmm. and it was amazing. And I remember it really, really clearly what happened. And that's what, eight years ago now.
Mm.
I was standing next to my best mate at the time in this worship time in a big auditorium, like probably 4,000 or 3,000 people there.
Wow.
We're way up the back, you know, in the nosebleed section. There. And I'm just looking around and the worship song's playing and I'm like, the lights went on. And I just realized in my heart that Jesus was who He said He was, and everything that I'd been learning in church and camps and conferences and whatnot, that was actually all true.
Hmm.
And I just thought in my heart, yeah, Jesus, I'm in, you know. And that was when I was 20 already, so that was third year university. So that point, and then later in that year, I did my first missions trip, and I started to understand hearing God's voice and evangelism and worship and prayer and all these big things. So 2008 was a really massive year for me, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you find out about YWAM that year as well?
No, that I found out about YWAM the end of the next year, so the end of 2009.
Right.
But kind of 2008 and 2009, a lot of stuff was happening in my life that really prepared me for a role in full-time missions. So I was essentially leading a ministry on campus with very little like outside support.
Yeah.
It was me and one other guy, both students, trying to figure out like, what are we doing? You know, we would do these prayer walks around the quad at my uni and like doing like Jericho marches, you know, praying for the walls, the spiritual walls to come down and
come on.
Really had no clue what we were doing, but like in those, that the innocence of, and the newness of that, like God really put a lot of things in my heart that I didn't really appreciate until I came to YWAM. And like, there were all of these things that I just mentioned that, that weren't new to me, which gave me, you know, a strong platform to really grow a lot during my DTS. Because it's like, okay, I'm familiar with evangelism, I'm familiar with worship, I'm familiar with like leadership and authority, and yeah, I'm ready to go. So when I came to YWAM, I was already fully geared, fully primed.
Nice.
And it's been a really, really significant 6 years of my life, you know. So yeah, I forgot what your original question was.
No, that's fine. It was all about when your faith became your own. So
yeah, 2008, last week of April, I think it was.
Awesome. Okay, so when you did your DTS in 2011?
2011 in January, yeah.
That was with my brother, the sports DTS.
With your brother Benji, yeah, I remember him well.
Yeah.
How are you, buddy?
I actually met you that year. Half our family came up to visit.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. It was pretty hard to miss you. You were very friendly, tall, Aussie ginger.
Handsome.
Handsome as well. That, of course, that was...
Of course, that goes without saying.
Yeah, I just didn't want to...
Thanks, man.
Yeah, I didn't want to flatter you on the
Thank
air.
You.
Yeah, so from that moment, that's kind of... I knew who Michael Cook was, even though you were just a fellow student on my brother's DTS. It was interesting because you kind of came back into the picture in right after my DTS in 2013. You came back into the picture for my life. You sent me a message kind of out of the blue asking if I would consider being on the sports DTS staff team.
Right.
For 2014.
Right.
And I was very interested, and I actually felt like God wanted me to pursue something like that.
Yeah.
So I looked into it, but my commitments at the time were studying at the Christian TAFE that I was at. And so my commitments took me up to December. And then I wouldn't have had enough time to go through all the staff training and protocol and everything. So that actually was the reason I didn't end up staffing that DTS, but your initial contact with me got me interested in what YWAM Newcastle had to offer, even though prior to that moment I was not really interested because it was where my brother had been and I didn't want to just be another Winslade.
Yeah.
Didn't want to be known as Benji's brother, which didn't end up happening really at all anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was kind of funny the way things all worked out. And by that stage, how many DTSs had you staffed by the beginning of 2014?
So my first was in 2011, at the end of 2011, and then 2012 and 13. So that would have been my fourth at that point.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how many have you staffed since then?
I think I was counting it the other day, but I've done... Seven
or what?
I think, yeah.
And that's going on eight, because you got one coming up in a
Yeah,
couple
got
months.
One coming up in January. Shout out Sports DTS, Surf and Skate and Summer Classic.
Yeah. It's a good time to do it.
Great time.
Yep.
It's not too late to apply.
Come on. Shameless plug.
It's shameless.
Okay, so sports has been something that has been part of your life since you could walk, basically.
Yeah.
And so as Faith, how have you seen the two work together in a complementary way?
Yeah.
Either personally or using it in ministry?
Yeah, great question, man. I feel like you're leading that very well together. I think my first experience with sports ministry was through a camp called Ultimate Training Camp by a group called Athletes in Action.
Okay.
And essentially, the idea behind that is it's a five-day camp, and each day you're looking at a different principle. In the morning, you're in a lecture setting, and then in the afternoon and evening, you're playing sport and looking to deliberately apply that principle that you've just learned. I think that would have been probably 2008 or 2009 as well, around about the same time. And what we're doing is applying on the field what we learn in the classroom. And long story short, there came a time where the teachers of the sports session were deliberately, you know, messing with the rules and making wrong calls and calling fouls and sending people off the field and whatnot.
So
we're playing five-a-side soccer, and four of my teammates got sent off for various things. And so I think at that point it's 5-1, and they put rules in place so each person could only touch the ball twice and you couldn't shoot from outside halfway. So there was no chance for me to score.
No.
I was just defending with my bare life. Five against one situation.
Wow.
And I think there was about 4 minutes left in the game at that point. I thought I was holding on, you know, for a draw. And so I was playing with all of my effort to stop these guys from scoring. And I did that for 4 minutes, against one situation. And it turns out we were actually in the lead, and my team won that particular game.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was probably the first moment where I really understood the character and the implications that sport can bring out in the life of a believer. You know, because one of the principles is called audience of one. So you're not playing for the approval of your coaches or teammates or your parents. You're just praying. You're playing to please God.
Yeah.
And that really caught my attention. So as it's a 5-on-1, I'm working my butt off. I'm just like, Jesus, I want to please you. I want to honor you in this.
Wow.
And that was kind of the first time I really started to understand what was happening in my own heart while the match is happening.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not playing to show off. I'm not playing to brag. I'm not playing to honor myself. I'm just like, hey, Jesus is giving me a gift, and I wanna use that as best I can. And since that time, I've done that in a number of different settings and environments. Essentially, anywhere I go with a ball on outreach, I'm looking to connect with people and make a connection with them. Sport's a really, really easy way to do that.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as you see someone in a soccer shirt, you know that there's a connection for me with that person. Even if they're wearing the shirt of my team's biggest rival.
Yeah.
Or, and I say that wearing my own team's rival shirt right now, but you know, you have a connection, and there's something there that you just know that we can be friends.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
you got coming around.
Yeah. That's if you have a good heart.
Yeah.
If you're a bitter, jaded person, you don't work that way. But anyway.
What are some other ways that you have seen character issues addressed on the sporting field?
Yeah. I think sports is a good way to highlight the issues that are already present.
Okay.
But it's kind of difficult to address them there on the field. You know, the best you can do is suggest your teammate take a lap, you know, just cool down for a second.
Yeah.
But generally the conversation happens after the match. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, man, I saw you were getting a bit worked up. Mm-hmm. And it's a difficult conversation to have. You know, do you think you were behaving in the best way? Mm-hmm. Or do you think you were really honoring yourself or your teammates by your behavior? Mm-hmm. I haven't had too many of those conversations, you know, but it's good to see issues and address them separately, you know, because if I'm wound up on the pitch and someone comes over and starts trying to iron out all the wrinkles in my personality, that's not necessarily going to be helpful right at the time.
It's probably going to make it worse.
Just me taking a lap, I think, is a good idea, because it gives me time to, okay, why am I freaking out? Why am I overreacting? What's going on in my heart? Okay, God, keeping you at the center. Things like that.
Yeah. So kind of like with an out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks type of thing, except out of the overflow of the heart, the legs run.
Yeah, more or less, man. Yeah, that's cool. Cool analogy.
I can definitely relate to that. If anyone's been a long-term listener for a while now, they may have listened to the episode where I talked to Samantha and Austin about being a sore loser. And as a kid, I was very much a sore loser. I think part of it came from having two older brothers who, being older, almost always means better at things than you are when you're a kid under the age of 10. And anytime they would be beating me in anything, I'll get really mad and I'd essentially just quit what I was doing and make excuses, and I just couldn't hack anything. But then when I was about, probably from the age of 12 to 16, I played in a really bad football team. It was just really bad. And it was so sad though, because they weren't trying to be bad, but they were like the third round picks of any sports match at school. So and that's the best of them. So we had anything from the person you'd pick third on your team to the person you'd pick last. And I was thrown in there. And that was not by choice, and it wasn't by being not terrible. Making a tryout or anything like that. It was that was the only team of my age at this club that my family was committing to. So I just had to deal with it, and we lost a lot. And I learned that if I got mad about losing within the first game, then by game four, I could either be a massive baby about it and not want to play anymore, or I could actually change my attitude around and start picking out the positives. And eventually I ended up seeing it less as about winning and more about improving people on my team's morale and skill level. So by the end of the season, we may be losing by only one or two goals, whereas at the beginning we lost by seven or eight. And it wasn't so much that became my only goal, but when I, what I discovered was that if I acted how I wanted to selfishly in being a sore loser, in getting mad at the referee or getting mad at one of my teammates for not doing their job, then that wouldn't reap any benefits at the end of the game. It was only having a positive attitude, encouraging, always yelling, submitting to the calls of the referee and everything. And it's definitely a way that I develop my character, so I can certainly relate to what you were saying there. Having joined YWAM, how have you seen sports used locally in our Newcastle or even Mayfield area to build connections with the community, or even go one step further and share the gospel with them?
Yeah, I think my attitude when I'm playing a lot of the time is how am I building a connection with that person? And that's a really important thing, because you can either be a great witness or a terrible witness on the field, you know, as you were saying. If you have a terrible attitude, you're abusing people, no one's going to look at that person and say, man, that guy really loves Jesus.
They're going to be like, that guy's a baby, you know? Like, yeah. I don't want to hang out with him. Mm-hmm. But if I'm on the field and win or lose, if I'm honoring people and sharing with them, you can make a really good connection through sport, as we were kind of talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
There's a community we've been doing some outreach in here in Newcastle, and they don't have a lot of church. They don't have a lot of outreach is happening there.
Mm-hmm.
So week in, week out, we've been taking soccer goals and hanging out with some young people there.
Yeah.
And there have been a couple of times there was a bit of an older crew, you know, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, 20 or 30 or 40 people at times hanging out.
Wow.
And their language is not soccer, which mine is. It's actually rugby.
Yeah.
And footy, and it's not touch footy, it's not, you know, grab footy, it's like full on tackle. And for me, I found the best way to connect with those guys is tackling them to the ground. And that's not something I'm confident with.
Yeah.
Luckily, most of them are a bit younger than me, so I can kind of hold my own a bit, you know, with that, but tackling them to the ground and chatting about footy and everything like that is actually a good way to build connections with them.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're there week in, week out, and they're there every couple of months, you know, over a few years, there's going to be a significant relationship built with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
As well as the opportunities for my teammates, my YWAM buddies, to share Christ with whoever's sitting around, you know, on the side. And if someone gets injured, like the first time we were there, this guy like came up from a tackle and he was like holding his knee.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I could pray for that guy or I could be scared about it.
Yeah.
And so I walked over to him and I said, hey man, I'm Michael. I love Jesus. Can I pray for your leg? Because I think he wants to make you better. And he was like, oh, nah, I'm not really religious, you know. But that's cool if you are, but I'm not interested. And I was like, okay, let's get back to the match.
Yeah.
You know, and he turned out to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But for me in that moment, I was like, either I could be scared or I could pray for him, you know, or offer to pray for him anyway.
Yeah.
But that's about as far as it's been in terms of spiritual in that capacity.
Mm-hmm.
But they've seen us there, you know, several times working with young people, and I'm a decent guy, you know, and a lot of people aren't decent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people are selfish and not looking after their mates, and they don't care about each other. So caring about people, looking to pray for them, mm-hmm. speaking positively and well, and looking for opportunities to share Christ where they come up.
Mm-hmm.
That one's been a bit harder to actually say, "Hey, I love Jesus, and we're here because we love Jesus."
Yeah.
But that's something that I'm trying to wrestle with and work on, is actually just talking about the most important thing in my life, which is not footy, it's actually Jesus.
Yeah.
But I'm working on that, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If anyone remembers, I shared a story once on an episode where we talked about healing.
Mm.
I was on my DTS in Brisbane, and a similar thing actually happened. We were playing at a local park with some high schoolers, and I actually injured a kid.
Oops.
He was about 15 years old. It was a fair challenge, but I think we both kicked the ball at the same time and his knee got twisted or something like that. He was in a bit of pain. So he went over to the side, and I understandably felt a little bit horrible about it, injuring this local high school. So I went over and asked if I could pray for him, and he very reluctantly said yes. So I put my hand on his knee and prayed a really clumsy prayer. I'd never seen anybody get healed before when I'd prayed for them. And the next thing I knew, he was back on the field running and jumping and kicking the ball and everything. And told me later on, my knee is still healed. I said, yeah, Jesus still loves you.
That's awesome.
And a week later, he was talking to a sports DTS student on base, and he gave his life to Jesus. And I have borne witness to to God working through local sports ministry.
That's awesome.
One more thing I will get you to share before we wrap this up with the finale.
Big finale.
The big finale.
Oh boy.
What's an example, or maybe a couple of examples, not wanting to use the Malaysian table tennis story.
Okay.
The listeners can watch the YWAM Newcastle video to see that one in a couple of weeks.
It's good.
Hey, give me my ball back. What are some times you've seen sports used as ministry overseas on an outreach?
Great. Well, this year I actually did a sports ministry school in Brazil, and that's run by YWAM. We're at the base there in a town called Piratininga.
Okay.
But every week on a Saturday, we would do a program similar to our youth street, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Gather a whole bunch of kids together, play a different sport. You know, we did kickball for a few weeks. We did basketball. Yep. You know, we did floorball, which is like hockey.
Okay.
And then we would gather them and explain about who Jesus is or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we did that for 10 weeks, you know, week in, week out, sharing with the same people. We had some testimonies from different people. Mm-hmm. And I think about week 10 out of 12, I actually was able to pull all of these things together and present the gospel to them. Little kids, probably from like, you know, 10 to 15 kind of range. Maybe there were about 30 kids there. And I said, hey, guys, look, we'll be honest. We play sports because we love playing sports.
Mm-hmm.
But you've heard from our stories and you've seen from our life that we're not like most people our age, you know.
Yeah.
And that's because we love Jesus and we're here to tell you about him. And I presented the gospel to them, and a whole bunch of them shot up their hands and were like, we want to receive Jesus and we want to follow him.
Wow.
So we, you know, I prayed with them, or the translator prayed with them or whatever, and mm-hmm. and they gave their hearts to the Lord, which is awesome. Like 30 young kids in Brazil.
Yeah.
And through an ongoing relationship with the base, they're still being discipled there, cool. you know, through different cool. ministries, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And then the last week we were there, you know, after the gospel's been preached, after they know we're Christians, we were playing a little indoor soccer game with them, and I noticed, oh, everyone's being selfish, you know, and no one's passing the ball. Mm-hmm. One person will get the ball, try and beat everyone, and then they'll get tackled, mm-hmm. and then the other person that tackles them will run until he gets tackled, and it's just very ugly.
Yeah.
And so I pulled everyone together and said, hey guys, this is ugly, you know, this is not beautiful football.
Yeah.
So what I want you to do is I want you to pass the ball, because when you pass the ball, you show that you care about your teammate and you value him. Mm-hmm. And we love you because God loves you, and we value you because God loves you. Now pass the flipping football. And 10 seconds later, the most beautiful football I've ever seen.
Wow.
The kids are passing the ball, they're beating their player and making runs, and yeah. it's just so nice. To the point even where a kid's in front of an open goal about to score, and he passes it over to his mate who scores.
Wow.
You know, and yeah. So there's the gospel moment, you know, preaching the gospel, and then there's teaching, hey, here's how to be a decent person as well. Yeah. And the two through sports can work really well together. Mm-hmm. That's why I love sports ministry, because it brings character issues and gospel issues so close together.
Yeah, wow.
And gives you such a natural, just like, hey, it's ugly when you play football like that. Mm. It's also ugly when you live your life like that.
Mm.
So look after each other, love one another, care for one another, as Christ has loved us.
Yeah.
And to see those kids, like 10 years old, so quickly understand, oh, that's not how you play football, that's not how you live. Really, really cool. That's one of the coolest experiences, is just see how quickly they understand, and hopefully they live their lives according to that, and they remember that. I don't know.
Oh, that's
what I get pumped about, man.
That is so cool. And sport's a language that everybody speaks as well. Every nation speaks the language of sport.
Yeah.
So, come on. Come play on, beautiful.
Babe. Beautiful game.
Yeah. Come on. All right. Well, folks, we've reached the climactic point of this 50th episode.
And episode 50. We made it.
Michael and I...
Ryan made it. I just got here.
Michael made it for the last 37 minutes.
I made an appearance.
That's right.
First cap.
We are going to attempt and succeed at naming 50 awesome things. And that is anything from foods or sports.
Anything.
To anything.
Great.
So not people, not places, but anything.
Can it be a feeling?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
A feeling is a noun.
Great.
Okay. Why don't you kick us off?
We're doing 50.
We're doing 50.
So Ryan and I, we're going to use our fingers and our toes, and that's 40 between us, and then we'll kind of muddle through 41 through 50.
Yeah. We'll kind of use a big toe here and a pinky finger there.
Okay. All right. It's so broad.
Yes.
Number one, going to the store to buy a snack.
Come on. Number two, finding your favorite snacks are on special.
Great. Number three, eating your favorite snack.
Number four, sharing your favorite snack with your friend.
Great. Number five, mum's home-cooked dinners.
Come on. Number six, going out for ice cream.
Number seven. Oh man, this is so much harder than I thought it was going to be. Seven. People that can write left-handed.
Whoa. Number eight, ambidextrous people.
They can do both.
They can do both.
Both right-hand, left-hand.
Yeah.
Number...
Nine.
We're up to Ryan's ninth finger. People sending you a package in the mail.
Come on.
Or a letter that's special.
Number 10 is a childhood best friend.
Number 11, I'm going to say adult best friend.
Ooh, nice.
So are we doing your toes?
Yeah, I think we're doing my toes.
Okay,
first.
So you'll go to 20 toe. And then I'll... Yep.
Yep. Number 12 is building something yourself.
Yeah. Number 13, destroying something yourself.
On purpose.
On purpose, deliberately.
Yep.
Like an old table or a mirror that you don't need anymore.
Yeah.
In a safe way.
Yeah, that's right.
Not in a safe way store. in an appropriate OH&S friendly kind of way.
Number 14 is air conditioning.
15, Nintendo.
Come on. 16, forests. I just love forests. Forests are awesome.
17.
16.
16.
That toe. 16. Oh, you're right. 17.
Sammy's pointing to his second toe.
I lost count of my 17. Toes.
People that can do backflips.
Whoa. 18. Guitar solos.
Good. 19. When you try on a pair of shoes and they fit first size.
Number 20.
Good.
Is op shop bargains.
Good, man. That's a good one.
All right, it's your fingers now.
Whew. 21. When someone writes neatly on a whiteboard.
Kind of like what I have behind you.
What you've got right behind my head there, Ryan. Yeah, it's nice.
Oh, thank you. A number of different styles. Okay, number 22. Blasting your favorite band's album in your car.
Yeah, good. 23. I had a really good one. And fresh out the shower. When you hop out of the shower and you're feeling really fresh.
Come on. Number 24, being warm and dry when it's wet and cold.
Oh, so good, man. 25, clean clothes.
Yes. Yes. Number 26, I would say meat pies.
Oh, good. How about 27, the Bible?
Okay.
I feel like that's it should have been in there before 27.
Yep. Yep, that's probably true, I think. Forgive us, Lord.
Awesome things. All right.
Number 28
yeah.
is having friends from overseas.
Good. 29, when you go to a lake and you pick up a really smooth stone from the lake.
Number 30 is skimming that smooth stone a lot of times.
Good.
In one throw.
31.
Yeah.
Tennis match.
Come on. 32. Playing a pickup game of basketball.
What we haven't said is soccer yet.
Yeah, that's true.
33, soccer match of any kind, anywhere, at any time, with anyone.
There we go. 34.
I'm
10 behind. 34 is getting to... getting to go to your favorite place at a time when you didn't expect that you were going to be able to.
Nice. 35. Cheese and bacon meat pies. Oh no, you already said meat pie. Does that count?
You could just say cheese and bacon anything.
Things with cheese and / or things with bacon.
Okay, 36. We're on the left big toe. I would say the Incredible Hulk hands, the big foam ones.
Good. 37.
Mm-hmm.
Watching a movie that you think might be terrible, but actually turns out to be really good.
Yeah, yeah. Number 38, we have getting something mailed to you from eBay that arrives within a week.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
That's a great thing.
Not what I've been experiencing lately.
39,
mm-hmm.
When someone gives you cash.
Ooh, nice. Number 40.
Yeah, it's my left pinky toe.
Left pinky toe. We're about to jump back onto the fingers.
Well,
I would say giving away a large sum of money to somebody that needs it.
Yeah, that's such a good feeling.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
Okay, back to my fingers.
I've got it. Autumn time, jumping on a pile of crunchy old leaves.
Come on.
And just crunching them underfoot. I love that feeling.
So good. Well, speaking of feet, number 42... going barefoot.
Barefoot?
Anywhere.
Yeah. I did that the other day, actually.
Nice.
Walked down the street, bare feet.
Yeah, I did that too, actually. Could have been the same day.
Maybe.
It's nice and warm.
How we didn't get foot germs.
No, I don't think we did. Building the calluses prevents them. Okay, 43 we're up to.
Oh, there are so many things that I'm thinking about, but I don't know how to express them. 43, having a conversation with someone and both people leaving the conversation understanding what the other person is trying to say.
Wow. Yep. Number 44, reconciliation.
Yeah.
Of any kind.
Number 45, Thai food.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. Number 46, I would say that new car smell.
New car smell?
Mm-hmm.
That's very rare around here.
Mm-hmm.
That's very rare.
Yes. Especially when people are getting 14th hand cars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
47.
Yeah.
I think we're doing really well. Yeah, have we mentioned anything about traveling overseas yet? I
feel like we haven't. Not traveling, really. No.
Yeah, traveling. 47. Traveling to other cultures, experiencing cultures, meeting people, speaking in Portuguese.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole deal.
Yeah.
I love Brazil. I love Brazil. Eu amo Brazil.
Number 48, I would say drawing a picture that looks really good.
Good. Yep. Number 49, a really thoughtful card that someone gives you when it's not your birthday or Christmas.
Mm.
You know, you just come home and someone's left a nice little note.
Yeah.
That's great.
Beautiful. Number 50.
Number 50, wow.
Getting to the 50th episode of your podcast. That's a pretty awesome achievement.
Well done.
We've done it.
We've done it. Special shout out, probably number 51, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
However,
should probably make the list.
But I did say no people, which is where the word was okay.
Okay, good. So, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, phew.
That goes without saying.
Still a special shout out.
Yeah. We love you, Jesus. But this is the sound of a high five on air.
Decent, man.
Good one.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. And this is the sound of the music that is playing the episode out. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you've enjoyed this conversation here on Pastor's Middle Kid. It's been great having you, Michael.
Thanks so much for having me in the studio. So glad to be here. Congratulations on 50 episodes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, if you want to subscribe on iTunes, that'd be awesome. If you want to leave a review on iTunes and a rating, then please leave a good one. But that would be awesome as well. Also, if you want to go back and listen to any episodes that date back to before probably episode 30, whatever's available on the iTunes store because it kind of cuts off after a while, then download the Podbean app and you can listen to every episode that I put out, all 50 of them, right there on the Podbean app, and you can subscribe and you can download it on there. So that's it's a good thing to do. And yeah, thank you for listening. Hopefully you tune in next time. It'd be great to have you. And this is Michael saying
ciao.
Keep on charging ahead, 'cause when you feel it, once you see